Hey Ben, how's it going?
I'm doing really well. How are you?
Okay.
Explain what's going on while I finish writing this thing on this thing that I'm writing.
All right, so a couple things. One is normally I pee before I do this, but I didn't. So that's a problem. I'm going to be distracted the entire time. Hey, listener, see if you can tell the difference.
Do you need to go?
No, it'll be
I
all
can
right.
wait.
It's just an hour. It's fine. Also, I made myself a smoothie, which I'm finishing. And therefore, I'm not eating necessarily. I think it's going to be fine.
Cool. I was just replying to a comment on a Slack channel that I'm involved with, so I wanted to get that done and out of the way.
Fun
And
fact about me, I've never used a Slack channel.
I'd rather not, but it's how some people prefer to communicate. Just like I'd rather not have to use PayPal, but it's how
Yeah.
some clients prefer to pay, and I'd rather not have to
Not be paid?
I'd rather not have to like buy online storage, but everybody wants to use Dropbox, and so it's just annoying.
Yeah, so here's a question for you. What is a Slack channel? How does it work?
It's basically team communication. So I guess the best way to describe how it works is it is a chat web page where you can subscribe to different channels. So like on the side, so let's say you're working at Ford, the car company. And on the side are channels. It's a drivetrain, interiors, wheels, paint color, just all aspects of building a car. And you only want to be involved. You only, you're an interior, an auto interior designer. So you only want to subscribe to the interiors channel. So then you only see what the topics and the discussions on interiors consists of.
Okay, I
You're
get
not
it.
flooded with irrelevant business pursuant to your interests.
It sounds
So
to me
it's like it's
like
basically Google Chat.
this hinges on people using it correctly.
It does, but the
It
thing
sounds like.
is, it also it's actually quite handy when you are working remotely from your coworkers, right?
Yes.
This is for people that I work for or work with, I guess. And I'm the only one who lives in Seattle. I have my own
Yeah, all right.
workspace and they send me stuff and I send it back.
Gotcha.
So it's how everybody who's kind of doing the same thing just stays in communication.
Well, it sounds like it, that would be, kind of useful
Yeah.
for that sort of thing. You know what I think would be kind of cool?
What's that?
And, feel free to develop this, Ben or Steven. It's like Slack, right?
Yeah.
But instead of it being a channel, it's a piece of media that so like I upload let's and maybe this maybe Slack already does this, but let's say I upload a comic, right?
Okay.
You can subscribe to that comic and so we'll talk about that, when it's you and me. But let's say Steven doesn't care about the comic. Steven only cares about the script. Steven can subscribe to the script, so on and so forth. As another fun idea, basically, I should write a comic, is what I'm saying. That's what I'm really thinking of. I just realized. Because, I think of myself, one of the big things I think of myself as is an author illustrator.
Yeah.
I'm writing stuff now, but I'm not really drawing anything.
You don't just have piles of sketchbooks laying around the house?
No, I really don't. I
Because I still
haven't.
have hundreds of pounds of sketchbooks from your old house.
Really?
Yeah.
Is there stuff in them?
Yeah. Tons of
Like
stuff.
stuff I drew?
Yep.
Oh, interesting.
But I'm not going to mail it because, again, it's hundreds of pounds of paper.
It's hundreds of pounds, right. That's right. somebody said that that shipping via train is actually affordable once you get into the hundreds of pounds thing. I don't know how true that is.
I don't know.
I think I was like at a UPS store and I wanted to, this was a while ago, but I had a trunk of books I wanted to send and somebody was like, why don't you send it via rail?
I didn't realize you could select which mode of transportation that your package can go on. Like, you know, when I put something into UPS or in the post office, or FedEx, I just assume that they will pick whatever mode of transportation is the best.
Yeah. Let me clear up something from my tail there. I was trying to ship it at a UPS store, and someone else who was at the UPS store suggested I leave the UPS store and go to like Amtrak or whatever and ship it through them.
I love it when strangers just try to be helpful.
Exactly. That was the thing. Hey, speak about strangers, sort of.
What's that?
I had this experience yesterday.
A stranger experience? So, did you have stranger danger?
we'll get into it in just a second. First though, I got a call from my wife. And it said picture day for our daughter Betty was today. Which was tomorrow on that day. So so she wanted to get a haircut, and what she wanted to get was an 11S haircut.
So basically like a not quite a buzz cut, but really, really short cropped.
And I was like, what is an 11S? You know, I figured that maybe it's a clipper grade, or perhaps you have a magazine and you find page 11 and then haircut S on that thing. But no, yeah, I think you've already skipped to the end. She was saying she wants 11's haircut.
Well, I think you've mentioned this before on the show.
I mentioned it on Twitter.
No, but I remember us having this conversation a long time ago.
Wait, an 11S? The same problem?
11, are you saying 11-esque or 11S?
11S. Like I thought it was a 1-1-S.
Because I heard 11-esque, and I was thinking,
hey,
11,
okay, good. 11, Ben, you had me frightened for a second. I thought that I had the exact same problem.
No.
Once before, which could have happened. So, yes, an 11-esque haircut.
Okay. So, but I skipped to Stranger Things. Was I right?
You were right, yes, because we were talking about search. So, and here's the basic thing. She got the haircut. So, I took her to the hair saloon.
The hair saloon where there are double doors and the piano stopped playing when you walked in.
It's an experience. it's a men's haircut place. But they were open and they did the kind of haircut that she wants. And they did a great job.
An 11S.
And she looks
so
excellent.
I take it it's season 1, 11 from Stranger Things.
Yes.
And so what season does the, one, what does the but, S but stand season, for?
Oh, well, that's the thing, is that she actually just, it was in a text, and she didn't put the apostrophe in.
Oh.
So she wanted 11's haircut. That was the whole point of my confusion, yeah. Is that I read the S as an S instead of a... You know, and you've got, and here's the thing, right? When I have the peanut is a little razor that I use to trim my beard and mustache, and each of the things in there has S1, S2, S3, S4.
Yeah,
like that's, and so I thought maybe it was a backwards thing like that.
Yeah, when I get my haircut, is, I have them do a number 5 around the sides and the back of my head.
Ah,
because it's a
well, I always like your haircuts, Ben. You have a very standard.
I don't go to the haircut saloon. I do have. I was talking to talking to the barber. I go to the Supercuts, and I'm not ashamed to say it. And yeah, I get the same haircut every time. Just you know, they do the shaver with the medium length around the sides of the back, and then take, you know, half inch to an inch off the top, and you know, to make it look like my hair is exactly the same except shorter.
Yes, exactly. That's time. What it is. It's
and,
like.
And it was some gal described to me that it's a quote, typical boy cut.
Typical boy.
Yeah.
Ben Lawrence, typical boy.
Exactly.
That right there, Ben.
Watch
it's
out,
your it's
you.
Your memoir title. I think it's
typical
great.
Boy, the Ben Lawrence story.
Exactly. that's the if you did a stand-up album or folk album, anything, it would work, Ben. That's save that title.
All right.
For sure. But what I was going to say is, but whenever I look at, so S2 is what I use for the sides usually.
Yeah.
And whenever I look at it, I think of the Annex play, S2.
S2, yeah. Which was the main stage before Naked Ladies, our late night show that we wrote.
That is correct. And one of the important things, the photo shoots that we did for Naked Ladies were in the same studio that they did the photo shoot for S2. S2 stood for, it was like a sugar.
Yeah, something like that.
Like a drug sugar thing. They had powdered sugar that they were using for their photo shoot.
Yeah.
And we convinced the gentleman who was taking the pictures to allow us to drop powdered sugar on Betty and take a picture. And we still have those pictures.
Yeah.
It's tiny Betty.
It is tiny Betty. I remember those pictures. I actually had a hand in the web marketing for S2.
Oh, really?
Yeah. They wanted me to put together flash banners for the website. And so I basically learned Adobe Flash to put together these flash banners.
Nice.
And animated the sugar falling down on various actors.
Oh, I believe
that is the only project. I believe that's the only project I've ever used Flash for since.
Interesting.
And now it's dead.
Yeah, which is too bad. I like Flash. David Baum was the photographer.
He was.
Just thought I'd put that out there. David Baum's taken some of the best pictures of me and my family. It's pretty great. Yeah, Flash. Too bad about Flash, you know?
Yeah, I read that Adobe just basically cut it off the reef and let it float out to sea.
And it really is Apple that killed it, you know?
Yeah.
Honestly.
Yeah, it is.
I feel like. It's too bad.
Stupid iPhone.
But no, I mean, it's fine. I don't miss it.
I would be
in my daily life.
I would be upset if
I like
still used it on a regular basis, if I enjoyed working with the program. I would be upset that Adobe killed it. Just like I'm upset with Apple about how they basically killed all the software that I enjoyed using that they provided.
Oh yeah, that is too bad. The thing is, I guess, did they kill it or did a different company kill it? You know what I mean? Like, Vine for sure killed itself. You know, they decided that they weren't going to do it. They got rid of it. That wasn't like there was a better Vine that came out.
Well, didn't like Twitter buy Vine and then Twitter killed it?
Yeah, well, here's the thing that is too bad. Because I liked the Vine community, there was some fun stuff that was happening.
Yeah.
It really was this thing where somebody took, you know, a medium and worked with it, right, and did some cool stuff. The thing that I think killed it was personalities. There were a whole bunch of Vine stars, quote-unquote.
Yeah.
That asked for like an ungodly amount of money or they were going to pull out of Vine. And so I think Twitter was just like, all right, fine. See ya.
All right, Vine.
And actually took it out of spite.
Yeah.
Like you tried to hamstring us, so we're gonna remove your...
To be fair, some of the most clever filmmaking I've seen have been Vine personalities.
Oh yeah, definitely. And this is the thing is, and I really want to point this out. There are some really good Vine people that weren't part of the "We Want More Money" people.
Yeah. Well, now here's
Uncle
my question.
Crispy is one of the guys who did a whole bunch of really crazy, you know, fun stuff.
Yeah.
There's a Silvio.
So my question is, were these, because I didn't realize that that's why Twitter killed off Vine, but these Vine personalities were asking money from Twitter? Because when you have, say, an Instagram celebrity, they're not making money from Instagram. They're making, they're not at, Instagram isn't paying them, right? They're making money from promotions. They're making money from sponsorships, you know, deals like that.
I honestly think, and now take this all with a grain of salt, as you know, we keep it wrong here. I could be totally wrong, but I feel as though the story that I read at the time that it was happening was that that several really, really famous Vine personalities were trying to kind of hold it hostage a little bit.
Okay.
Like they wanted something from them, and I think it was money. I think they wanted to cut a deal with Vine.
Right, so
where they would actually get a salary.
For
doing Vines.
Their position was, we're drawing all these people to your platform, pay us for it.
Yep.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And we know how that kind of stuff turns out usually.
Yeah, Twitter's like, "Well, this platform is actually costing us money, and we're not going to make it. We're not going to let it cost us more money. So, we're pulling the plug."
Also, In general, with artists, it's like, hey, you're great. We love you. Great. Give me some money for what I'm doing. You know what? Yeah. We can find other people to do the same thing. I mean,
that's you know, sad, unfortunate lifestyle of the of arts, right? You get phase one, you have a number of people who are just enthusiastic about doing something artistic, right? They'll do it for free because they want to do it or they want to learn how to do it. And so they just want to get people to see their thing. People see their phase two. People see their thing. People want to see more thing. So they do more thing. Phase three, they do so many things. Thing is all they're doing. So now they want money for it and nobody wants to pay. They demand money. People say, well, I'm going to go back to phase one because there's a new crop of people in phase one who want to do things for free.
That's right. Now, the thing that kind of sucks, and this is, and you know this as well as I do, the phase one is cool, right?
Yeah.
As long as nobody's making any money. The problem happens when you get to phase three where all you're doing is this stuff.
Yeah.
There are times when there is one person or like two people that are making money off of it, and they have their friends who have been with them before and they're doing stuff and it's great. Then the money people come, but the money people don't want to give money to everybody. They try to find the person that is sort of the head of it, whatever.
We like what you're doing, but we don't want to pay this person.
Right, exactly. Hey, you know, you're really the star of this thing. You should go and, you know, and that's how improv groups, sketch groups, whatever, have like one of their famous people peel off or one of their, you know.
That's actually been one of my fears in regards to the Rocketmen.
Yeah.
Because it's the Rocketmen series is not online yet, but I'm told that it's going to be coming to a distribution channel near you. Whether that's Netflix, Hulu, or Vimeo, I don't know.
Yeah, yeah.
But I'm afraid that somebody's going to see the Rocketmen, and they're going to be like, "This is great. We want to buy it." And then all of us Rocketmen go, "Yay!" And then they go, "But we're going to recast it with Hollywood people," and all the Rocketmen go, "Boo."
Okay, now here's the thing, right? The thing that I really fear about that, because that you know, we're going to request it with Hollywood people. That's a thing that happens all the time, whatever.
Yeah.
That's great. I said that's great. I mean, that's, you know, that's not great. That's just par for the course. But the thing that I would hate is, and this guy Webster, he'll be a consultant, or he'll be a whatever, and the commander no longer has control of the rocket. That would be the thing that would make me go like nuts.
Yeah, and that's actually the tale that I've heard from people who have sold their art to a corporation. Now, before I get into that, I just want to say the second biggest fear is somebody buying rights to the Rocketmen and wanting to shoot more seasons and saying, we want to bring back everybody except you, Ben Lawrence. We're going to recast only you.
Oh no!
But
that's you don't recast Ben Lawrence. No.
But the thing about selling your art for money is where you do lose control. So that's the trade-off, right? Webb Kroll, if he sells the Rocketmen, he's probably going to make bank, but then he no longer owns the Rocketmen, and he the rest of his life is going to be torn up by seeing what some corporate suits are doing to his baby.
Now, the thing is, with Giraffe and Elephant, Disney really, you know, I have all the rights for most of the stuff, and they were very good with me checking in, saying, hey, do you like this? Do you like, you know... I had a very pleasant experience. I wish my books were selling, but it really was nice. So that's something to look forward to. I mean, a lot of it is based on attitude in many ways. Like, if they think that they can work with you, they might try it. It depends on the people, right? Obviously. But I mentioned this before too, when Bravo was doing the other show thing.
The TV show,
they had like rights to do a lot of stuff that they ended up not doing. You know, they were really cool to me, in my opinion. I mean, would I like there to have been other seasons? I don't know. I mean, I think I would have, but in the same way, the way it turned out, I met some cool people and I liked, you know, hanging out with them and stuff. Yeah. And so it all worked.
But then there's the problem you face with making a living being on a TV show, but then also wanting to retain your anonymity.
Yeah. And that's a big thing is for me, right? At the time, and I want to stress this, at the time, that was an okay trade-off.
Yeah.
However, I was also married to actual human beings with thoughts and feelings, and to them, the idea of everyone going, hey, I've seen you on that thing, wasn't, like, so great.
Yeah.
And now that I'm older, I get it.
Yeah. I do remember seeing, like, when you were on the TV show, I do remember seeing a web extra where they were at your house and, you know, your cat was on the TV. Did they end up filming a lot more things like that that just did not see the light of day? Do you remember?
There were some things that got filmed that didn't see the light of day for sure.
Yeah.
But a lot of it was like, well, I don't know if I want to, like, me complaining about people.
Well, see,
things.
Here's the thing.
This is what I'm talking about. That, like, I could have come off as being much more of a jerk than I was. They were really nice at what they chose to show of my different things. There was a time when I really freaked out on somebody, and that didn't show up, which was nice.
I do remember. I mean, I do get that a lot of stuff gets filmed for a standard episode that doesn't see the light of day. But I was just wondering if there was any, like, promotional extras or, say, commercials,
you know,
or anything like that.
I honestly don't remember a lot of things being filmed. There was a thing where I gave a tour of the place.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that actually of the actual office. And I don't know if that got in or not. But that was one thing that I filmed. And then because there's one part where I walk over to the place where they edit or where they were filming the, you remember I was also on a clip show that they did there.
Yeah.
For a little bit. And I walked in and I was like, and here's where the magic. And as soon as I said magic, I opened up the door and somebody had left their dog in there and it started barking like it was going to murder me, a la Paul F. Tompkins, and rushing to the door.
He's all right.
It was, the timing was just great. It was pretty hilarious, but it didn't, I don't know if it actually made it in, which I don't get. And you know what else? This is true. I recorded the song La Bamba.
Right.
And they didn't use it because they thought that La Bamba was royalty free. But then when you ended up seeing the version that I did, there are two versions of La Bamba, and the famous one is the one that isn't royalty free.
Right.
And that's the one that I was doing.
So you sang it a la Los Lobos?
Or... Because there's somebody else who also does it. I think it's
Los Lobos is the band that recorded the song for the Richie Valens movie, and I'm assuming that's the one that's been
the Richie Valens version is the one that is not royalty free.
Yeah.
And
I see.
Yeah, there's another song also called La Bamba. Because they were like, we know you do music. We'd like to see you do something. And there was something, I don't know, the way that a lot of the times when I record something, this is what I do. You know how you sing karaoke? They have like a flute that is also doing the same version of the song for the vocals that you can
follow.
Right, like,
so you can kind of, yeah, you can follow it.
So one of the ways that I would record music a lot of times is I'd find a MIDI track of the thing, right?
Yeah.
And then I'd do what I would call the Theseus's ship or the Woodsman, where you have one track. So you're playing the MIDI track, right? And then you have one track that you record that isn't the MIDI track. And then you take that voice out of the MIDI and you just keep on doing that until there's no MIDI track anymore. Does that make sense? So like let's say you have drums, guitar, and bass.
Yeah.
Three MIDI tracks. So you play over the drums, guitar, and bass. You have a fourth track, which is a live track, and you play guitar, right?
And you're following the guitar bit.
And you're following the guitar in the MIDI track. Then you take that guitar track out. So now you've got bass and drums, and then you play the bass. And then you play the drum. Now, normally you'd probably play the drums first, but just for, you know.
It sounds like an audio version of rotoscoping.
Yeah, yeah. In fact, that's a really great way. I should have called it that. Audio rotoscoping. Yeah. And so, you know, that was the end. So I was kind of showing that sort of thing. And so I guess if you think about it, right,
yeah.
If you don't have the rights to it, and then you're showing, hey, look, I start with the original song, and then I do this, and then I do this, and then I do this. Probably not a good idea to put it on,
right?
I would guess.
Yeah, because the royalty payments would just be too much for them to want to afford.
Yeah, exactly. And so that was one thing that didn't make it. Let's see. So, You and I were texting today.
Yeah. Today? Yesterday.
Two things. One thing, my wife had mentioned.
Oh, that was today.
That not enough people thank members of the Air National Guard for what they do. And she said a big thank you to your dad for doing that.
Yeah.
And I would also like to say it now on the podcast, so I sound like a good person for forgetting to do that the last time. It does mean a lot, and it's cool that he did that.
Yeah.
Jennifer also comes from a military family. Her stepdad, helicopter pilot and helicopter trainer.
Oh, neat.
Yeah. So, thanks to everybody.
Yay.
I was in the Air Force for a year. That's not the normal amount of time someone is in the Air Force. I did get an honorable discharge, and we've talked about it before.
Yeah.
Honorable discharge sounds a little disgusting, but that's another story. But what I was going to say is she also mentioned that there is a correction that she was able to get in.
Yeah, yeah. Do you want to give the curtain speech for a correction?
Yeah, okay. Curtain speech for okay, so Ben and I often talk about how people think they're smart just because they can look stuff up in Google. And we realize that that applies to us as well. And so we tried to answer things without going to Google. And as we went on with the podcast, before we would have a feature where we would like look up questions and try to answer them, we realized that we don't actually have to do that because we simply get things wrong just in our daily lives of talking on this podcast without any prompts. So we would just ask people, hey, if you find some errors in the podcast, write to us at Ben's email at yahoo.com at gmail.com.
That's it. Yeah.
Yay. So, you know, we told asked people to write to that. And some people have, I believe Stephen McCandless has now written in, and so has Jose Amador, but most prolific is my wife, Jennifer Pratt, who is, really great at catching things that we give that are incorrect, or things we say that are incorrect, and giving us notes, and I love it, and now we're ready for the next... installment.
Yeah, corrections for corrections. Episode 100. Ding. Ding.
Oh, yeah, episode 100. Congratulations, Ben.
Yeah, congratulations, Paul. We did it.
Thank you. Yay.
We were talking about heat lightning, and you said it's quiet.
Yes.
And she says, heat lightning does make a sound. It's just way quieter. So there is thunder for heat lightning. It's just way quieter.
Interesting. Okay. All right. That's cool.
I was talking about living just south of Fort Lewis and hearing the bombs at night and how they made the house shake. She says, yes. Likely artillery, not bombs per se. This may be semantics, but bombs are explosives in situ or are, quote, containers filled with explosives, incendiary material, gas, or other destructive substance designed to explode on impact, as opposed to artillery projectiles and mortars. Mortars live in a class between bombs and artillery munitions, so that's actually a pretty fine distinction that has proponents on both sides. There's an explosives training area, but it's in the middle of nowhere in eastern Washington. You really can't be blowing shit up. Whoops, pardon me. You really can't be blowing stuff up anywhere near populated areas unless you want to be paying for windows and other concussive property damage plus medical bills over and over. She goes on to say, sorry to go on like that, but I'm a military brat. One of my high school friends did 6 tours of duty in Iraq and Afghanistan as part of an artillery unit. These distinctions can be important to those who serve, and thus are important to me. And I will say to that, they were not important to a 9-year-old me who just heard bombs going off in the middle of the night.
Yeah.
So.
One of the best things, some people post a thing saying... please note that a veteran lives here, and fireworks could exacerbate post-traumatic stress.
Right.
Thank you for understanding. And that's important. I want to state before I tell this next part, that's important. I appreciate signs like that, and it's good that people will do it. I saw another sign that said, a veteran lives here. He was in the artillery unit. He can't hear your fireworks, but if he could, he wouldn't be impressed, which I thought was nice.
F you and your fireworks.
Yeah. So wait, was that it?
That was it for that one. She quotes Good Morning Vietnam. She says, a favorite moment of mine from Good Morning Vietnam, and I remember this. So Adrian Cronauer takes a call. Hello, who's this? This is Bob in artillery. Hey, Bob, what can I play for you today? Anything, man. Just play it loud, okay? And then number three, we were talking about Tape Face on America's Got Talent. And
oh, yes.
She says Tape Face did not win America's Got Talent. I don't know if we mentioned he won or whatever. Oh, we talked about him like
advancing through the... You wondered if he had won, and I said, I don't know.
Yeah. All right.
Oh, is that it?
That's it for Tape Face. There's one more.
Oh, no. He's from New Zealand. He's great. That's about it. He is really like New Zealand's Goody Lawrence. So there's that.
All right. So,
and he's one person.
The final correction.
Weird. Yes.
You mentioned that Griffin Newman's Twitter handle is Griff Lightning. I said it was a reference to Grease Lightning. Yes. She says Greased Lightning. And then you mentioned that there's a line, the chicks will cream.
Yes.
She goes on to say, Jennifer goes on to say, the setup for the chicks will cream is pretty simple. The ladies will get sexually aroused and complain due to the majesty of the badass car. Previously in the song is the lyric, we'll be getting lots of tit. Later there is the lyric, it's a real pussy wagon. I didn't realize the song was so dirty.
Yeah. But no, what I meant by setup is what's the line
before it? Like what?
Before
what do they rhyme with cream?
That's what my
Dream?
Question was. Yeah. Or supreme? I think
supreme?
It might be supreme.
All right. Anyway,
it's so supreme the chicks will cream. I don't know.
Finally,
but that's what I was wondering.
Finally, she says, "Keep it wrong, guys." And so that is it.
Oh,
for
hey, thanks, Jennifer. It's always good to have the corrections.
Yeah. To keep us on our toes.
Let's see. Bob Jordan update. I don't know if you may have remembered Jennifer found him.
Yeah.
Bob Jordan, old college friend of mine. And so he had a lecture yesterday, but I didn't go to it because I took Beta to get a haircut. But I wrote to him, and I explained to him, and I don't know if Andy and I mentioned this or not, but one of my fondest memories, we went to see Star Trek First Contact. Are you familiar with the movie Star Trek First Contact?
I am. That is the one where the guy from Babe Pig in the City creates the warp drive.
That's right. What is it? Cromwell?
Yeah, James Cromwell.
James Cromwell. So there's a scene where Jean-Luc Picard is talking to someone, I believe her name is Lily, and he mentions something about how he's not after revenge, but then he also says that the Borg have to pay, and he says, they have to pay for what they did to me. We're in a darkened theater, and in the darkness, I hear Bob Jordan's voice cry out, or not cry out, but in tone, ah, but no revenge, eh, Jean-Luc? and all of us kind of lost it. It was great.
What was the reaction from the rest of the theater?
Oh, I don't think we cared. silence, basically. But yeah, it was, I don't know. Bob was like one of these sort of larger than life. And this is the thing, is that he was a character, you know? He was, and I don't think that we necessarily connected to him as a person as much as the entity that he was. So
every night he cried himself to sleep because his friends weren't actually his friends. They just enjoyed
his
character.
Well, I don't, no, I mean, but this is what I'm saying is that you would go somewhere and Bob would be there, but you never actually asked Bob to hey, Bob, we're going to do this. Do you want to do this? He would know about it and he would be there, but there wasn't a lot of connection that we had. And this is a problem. Jennifer has talked before about, you know, other people, where everybody kind of, you know, just sort of takes them for granted that they are going to be there and they're going to do stuff or whatever.
Yeah, I get it.
And so this chance to reconnect is good. I sent him an email. I haven't heard back from him.
And so you haven't seen this character since college?
Yeah, well, since, let's see, 1998. So it's been, what, 20 years?
What's he... 20 years. What's he doing these days? You said he was giving a lecture. Is he a professor somewhere?
No, I don't think he's a professor. His job history has been kind of spotty. I don't know for sure. I don't know a lot about what he's been doing for the past 20 years. Again, the last thing I know about his employment was he was a taxi driver, but he ended up getting into some accidents with the taxis.
Yeah, taxi companies generally frown on that kind of thing.
Yeah, exactly. So, but since then, I'm not exactly sure. Jennifer has given me more information, but I don't remember it.
It's all right. We don't need to go through his CV today on the show.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But anyway, it's just nice that that she found him and yeah. You know, we'll see how it goes. Let's see what else. I haven't seen many of the Oscar contenders, but I have seen Get Out, and I hope it wins some stuff.
Yeah, it was nominated for four Oscars.
Yes.
Best Picture, Best Original Screenplay, Best Lead Actor, and Best Director. So, like, all the major ones.
Yeah, and I really... Oh, man, Jordan Peele was so good.
Yeah, it
in
was,
that movie.
It was really funny when the Golden
he
Globes...
Picked, he like, his shots and all of his...
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Go ahead, you were saying.
The Golden Globes, I think, had categorized Get Out as a comedy. And
yeah,
he
which
said,
was
no,
dumb.
No, it's a documentary.
Nice. Yeah, yeah. It's but oh, and the main actor whose name I can't remember.
Daniel Kaluuya.
Daniel Kaluuya lost to Gary Oldman at the Golden Globes.
Boo.
Oh no, not the Golden Globes, at the Screen Actors Guild
yeah.
Award.
Gary Oldman
and
won
Joshua
for
Molina
playing
sorry, go ahead.
Oldman won for playing Winston Churchill, is that right?
Yes, that's right. And the thing that was interesting is that you and I had been talking about Gary Oldman.
Yeah.
At the time. And he was apparently under fire by some people, especially Joshua Molina, who was on Sports Night, I believe, in The West Wing, and Scandal. Apparently made anti-Semitic comments and stuff like that at one point in time. Gary Oldman did.
Did he?
It's too bad. Yeah. Jennifer and I are convinced that everybody is a bad person.
Yeah, it's just a matter of time.
Until I know that I am. I don't know about you, Ben. I don't know. Sometimes, probably.
I've had my moments. Yeah. Unfortunately, I'm not a famous person. My moments can stay private.
Yeah. And that's one of the big things, you know, is that I once pitched the idea of a superhero who, and I still love this idea. They're a telepath. They can read people's minds. The problem is that the more repressed a memory is, the easier it is to uncover.
Yeah.
For this person, like it's stronger. And so they end up hating everybody because the first thing they find out about you is the absolute worst thing that you ever did.
Help, save me. I'm about to fell off of this building. I don't know, man. You're a terrible, yes. terrible person.
Exactly. Hey, find out this guy's password. Oh, geez. Do you know how much stuff I'm going to have to wade through first? So I like it still. Something should happen with it, but nothing has. As of yet, Ben, I've got so many ideas and so little time. This is why you and I should be producers. That's we just have tons of money, give it to people to make stuff, It'd be great.
Yeah, but, and then you take a larger than allowable percentage and just sit back and watch your bank account grow. That would be nice.
Yeah, exactly. Start losing touch with reality and what it means to be a decent person. And then, no, I'm kidding.
I can't wait.
I know some producers who are nice people. It's true. Not all producers are bad people.
But
this is something that...
It's only a matter of time until you hear some sort of accidentally anti-Semitic thing they said in what was a private conversation.
Accidentally. Sure. That's the thing. The thing that gets me, and I don't mean to go off on a rant here, Ben.
All right, Dennis Miller, what do you got for us?
Yeah. Well, I'm about to say a very Dennis Miller kind of thing. But I think one of the problems that we have right now when we talk about race in this country is that we differentiate between racist statements and racist people. And I think if we would just get on board with the idea that, you know, oh, he said something racist, but he's not really a racist, right? It's because racists in our mind are some sort of monster. They aren't people. If we get the idea that people who make racist statements, no matter if they mean it or not, are being racially insensitive and could be given the moniker racist, but are still human beings who, you know, maybe could become good people or whatever, I think it would be helpful. I don't know if it's true or not, but, like, a remark can be anti-Semitic,
it's,
right?
Yeah, that's a fine line to try to cross.
I don't know. I just feel like if I say something racist, right? And I'm like, well, I'm not a racist. Well, I just said something racist. How am I not a racist? You know what I mean? It's like...
Well, are you racist in that moment versus are you racist from birth to death and you harbor those sorts of feelings?
Right. And again, with the Me Too movement thing, right? A lot of people criticized... folks for wearing the Me Too stuff and then turning out to be, you know, bad people in their own private lives. And so the question is, you know, are we capable as human beings of criticizing someone for something that we ourselves are also doing? Or have done in the past. And I'm thinking about, you know, for example, let's say, hypothetically, someone is talking to you about how you shouldn't be cheating on your boyfriend, right? When they are cheating on their boyfriend.
Yeah.
What does that mean? You know, yes, in a way that is true. You know, they can talk about morality in that way, but if they're doing it themselves, do they have, you know, the position to do that? And the answer that I would say is, you know, if you need to not be doing the thing in order to give someone, if you need to be a good, it boils down to this, if you need to be a good person in order to keep somebody in line, then no one can keep anybody in line because we've all done something bad at one point in time. So the key, in my opinion, is that everybody keeps on trying to pull people to the good place, to the good position. You know, so if you said something bad at one point in time, what are you saying now? What are you doing now? And everything like that.
Well, see,
and...
that's the thing about human nature. It's really hard to place gradations of behavior on people. You're either a good person or a bad person. You're a Republican or a Democrat, you know? It's
funny that you put a good person parallel with Republican, Ben. I'm not saying anything. I'm just... No.
It's one of those things where a lot of people cannot immediately identify that a person can be both good and bad.
Yes. Which is why I find libertarians and really, really, really far left, like communist types, great. For you know, staying on Twitter and looking at it and stuff like that, because they don't fit into the Republican or the Democrat thing. I mean, a good friend of ours, and I suppose I was going to say the child of a good friend of ours, but now I think just a good friend of ours, whose name I'm not going to mention on the podcast, just in case they don't want to be, you know, but, much farther left than a lot of Democrat folks, right?
Probably. I know a lot of people who are much farther left than your standard Democrat.
And by listening to their ideas, right?
Yeah.
It becomes really, really interesting. Like the idea that, well, you know, if you keep it up with that attitude, you know, so-and-so is never going to get elected. And then the rejoinder is, well, fine, I don't want them elected. Well, who do you want elected then? I don't care. I'm going to, you know, rip shit up and I'm sorry. I did it too, Ben. We both got one.
Yep. Everybody gets one.
You know what I mean? Like they're, but that they don't, again, I go back to the Velvet Rut because I love it so much. That this part of the play, when the guy comes in and says, "Okay, who's in charge here?"
Yeah,
nobody's in charge. Where these kids are at these days, you don't even know. You say, "I hate liberals." They say, "I hate liberals too." Well, what? But yes, it's true. You don't know. I can't, Ben, I can't keep it family friendly and describe this thing. But somebody made a poster. You were telling me about, what is it, Antifa?
Antifa, whatever you want to, anti-fascist. It's the slur that the right has given to, like, the millennial generation, the libertarian slash really far left millennial generation.
So somebody from the far right made a poster. And I can't say exactly what it is, but it was describing two homosexual sex acts and had a person kind of in a gas mask and bondage gear. And it said on it, Antifa, and then listed the two sex acts, right? It tried to degrade them, basically.
Okay, I don't get it, but was this just like a thing that they put online, or was this like at a protest, or what's going on?
It was a meme that they made and started sharing.
Oh, a meme.
So imagine I'm gonna take out the harsh language and I'm gonna put in some nice language.
Okay.
Antifa. Learn to eat a popsicle and sit on a plunger. All
right? Right.
And so all these Antifa people were sharing it around going, this is the greatest thing. I'm gay as hell. I love this poster.
Exactly.
And so like so this is what I'm talking about. Things are different now and you can't figure it out, but you will eventually, maybe.
Yeah.
But then there's that thing with Chelsea Manning. Wait, what's her name? Is it Chelsea? Chelsea Manning?
I think so. The former soldier?
Hanging out with the alt-right folks.
Oh, really? I didn't know that
and,
part.
Yeah, she was at a thing, like a speaking thing.
That seems counterintuitive.
And she said that she was there to be to get intel on it. And people were like, okay, well, that makes sense. And then somebody else found a picture of her with them at an escape room. Like, just hanging out. And so they're like, dude, I don't know what's happening. And I'm like, nobody knows what's happening ever.
Maybe this person who's been such a vocal proponent of trans rights actually has very right-leaning political thoughts.
Or maybe she really has infiltrated them to get their secrets or whatever. Who knows?
If you are the most well-known spy in the world, you are the worst spy in the world.
Yeah. And then this is the other thing that just happened recently. I don't know. You probably saw me rant about it on Twitter. Twitter was sending emails to people saying, hey, during the 2016 election, you forwarded, retweeted, liked, or followed an account that has been flagged as being a Russian troll account, basically. They've been sending these out to people.
Did you get one of these emails?
No, I have not, because, and this is key, I'm lucky.
You're lucky.
Because while I was warning people, hey, you got to be careful about this kind of stuff, the thing that people who are criticizing this stuff are saying is that it should be pretty obvious who they are. And the answer is no, it's not. It really isn't. There are tons of accounts that are like, you know, John 85278 with a picture of a guy.
Or just, you know, an egg.
And says, you know, Obama is like a girl. Go, Mr. Trump, or whatever. That's fine. Yes. Okay, you can spot that and say, this is probably a spam account. But when you're talking about stuff like this, and this is the way that I described it on the little rant I was doing, you could stumble across an argument between three people. One who's really far right, one who's left, and one who's really far left. And they're all just tearing into each other, and it's, you know, it makes you disgusted with the whole political process, right?
Yeah.
All three of those accounts might be the same person. And this is what I was saying back, and this is why I rage quit Twitter every once in a while. When too many people are all falling for what seems to me to be the same trick. It's like, stop spreading things from people that you don't know. No matter what their avatar looks like, no matter how much of a history they have, you don't know who these people are.
I've seen the same sort of technique used on Reddit where people will call out other users. But the problem is it's the reverse of having an argument with yourself. Normally, it's people being a bit too complimentary. And so somebody's complimenting their own post, but they forget to sign out of their account that they posted as, and they get called out on it. So,
and the secret is, this is the big thing, the way that you know what is happening, the only way you know, really, is if you are the administrator. You can see where they're posting from, or you can make guesses, you know, as to, oh, this IP address is coming from the same house as this one. That sort of thing. And even then, it's if somebody really cares about what they're doing and they're not an amateur, they can bounce around and do stuff. And it's, but that's the thing, is that the thing about Twitter sending these out is we needed Twitter to tell people that. And again, I go back to this whole thing, the whole left splintering thing that happened. Exacerbated for sure by these folks.
Yeah, and it's not it's not just Twitter. It's every form of social media.
Oh yeah, I'm sure. It's
when you democratize opinion, but then allow people to manipulate it in such a way, then yeah.
But the thing is, and this is what I keep saying, they're still here. They still exist. They're still messing with you. And
trust no one.
And people have, yeah, exactly. That's the answer, Ben. David Duchovny did everything. That would be interesting if it, yeah. Oh, hey, speaking about believing. Hey, Betty.
Oh God.
Betty. Oh no. I think she's wearing her headphones. Ben, this might be the first
no yelling for Betty.
Oh, we've had those.
Is it possible?
We've had those.
Wait, we have?
Yeah.
Oh, here she is.
When she's been out of town.
Hey, Betty.
Hey.
How's it going?
It's going good.
Ben, you can't see Betty's cool haircut because she won't let me take her picture. Mm-hmm. But that's fine.
But apparently I hear it's model 11S, so I can imagine what an 11S haircut is.
Ben says model 11S. 11S. Betty's just shaking her head.
that is the appropriate response.
So, Betty, the people want to know, how did the Goody Pratt household do in The Sims?
I have no clue.
Is everybody dead? Are there still ghosts?
I mean, no, the Ghostbusters got them. Nobody's dead yet. Mom's the only person who doesn't have a job or goes to school because that's how it works here.
Okay.
Even Sooty Jim has a job.
Sooty Jim has a job? What is Sooty Jim's job? What is Sooty Jim's job?
And who is Sooty Jim?
Sooty Jim. Okay, so when we were making our Sims characters, we started out making just a guy whose name was Sooty Jim.
Well, I mean, Dad got the original Sooty Jim from Dark Souls.
Oh, yeah. I was playing Dark Souls, and I accidentally put the slider all the way to made a guy who was like completely like jet black. And I realized that he looks kind of like one of the woodsmen from Twin Peaks: The Return.
Okay.
And so I named him Sooty Jim.
It's your old pal.
And he would say, "Hey, it's your old pal Sooty Jim," like Betty said. But he's killing,
all the zombies.
All the zombies and stuff. And so we decided to make Sooty Jim as a Sims character. And then we were like, well, do we want housemates? And I said, yeah, make me. And then once we made me, I was like, hey, let's make you and your mom. And then it became weird because it was our house, except there was just this guy named Sooty Jim there. So we decided he's the lodger. And it all worked out in a town called Edwardsville, Illinois.
No, Sunset Valley.
Sunset Valley. And so, Betty, anything you want to tell the people? Because we're almost towards the end of the episode.
Okay.
Is that a no?
That's it.
That was it? Betty is stroking a bookcase.
Let's just worry about things until they happen, folks. Don't worry.
Don't worry about things until they happen?
Mm-hmm.
All right, well, there you go, Ben. Don't worry about things until they... Oh, speaking about which, tsunami. I guess there wasn't one?
There was a warning that went out, but they canceled it. So, yeah, there was a 8.3 magnitude earthquake up at Kodiak Island in Alaska this morning. And, apparently people in Ballard received a tsunami warning, but... But it came to nothing.
Hey, there was no tsunami today, Betty.
Hey, that's nice.
Yeah.
All right.
That is nice.
Why are you saying that?
Because there was a 8.2 earthquake in Alaska, and there might have been a tsunami in Ballard.
Which is?
Part of Seattle. It is part of Seattle,
if it reached,
right?
It's a neighborhood. If it had reached Ballard, then that means that a lot of other places got effed up.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's true.
All right.
Well, Ben.
And with that.
Oh, my God. Betty, just shut the door on me. Oh, quit it. All right, keep it wrong, man. All right,
keep it wrong, Paul. I'll talk to you later.
All right, I'll see you. I think I'm trapped in this room now.
All right, do I need to call for help?
I don't think so. Call for help. Escape. I will escape this room.
Hey, Alexa, call
just
for
like...
help.
Exactly. Okay.
All right.
I'll talk to you later.
Yeah.
Bye.
Bye.